Welcome back to Rockstock Channel. It is Thursday, April 18th, and we are pleased to have back on the channel Jean-Sébastien Lavallée, CEO of Critical Elements Lithium. Critical Elements has been developing the Rose Spodumene Project for over 10 years, and we'll be discussing that. But as importantly, we'll be discussing the company's exploration portfolio and strongly positive drill results in Quebec. We've interviewed your chairman and my good friend, Eric Zonscherb, a number of times, but the last time we had you, JS, was November 2022, when you had just signed, sealed, and delivered final permits for the Rose Project, and we published Seal's Kiss from a Rose interview. Time flies when we're having fun, and not so much fun, in lithium land. Looking at the Archie Equity Scoreboard, Critical Elements trades on the Toronto Venture Exchange, ticker symbol CRE. And also on the U.S. OTC market, ticker symbol CRECF. It has a market cap of about 145 million Canadian or 105 million U.S. dollars. Current cash balance is a reasonably healthy 20 million Canadian dollars. The most recent raise Critical Elements undertook was at $1.75 in December 2021, which was a $30 million raise led by Cantor Fitzgerald and Stifel. The company is relatively tightly held with long-term loyal shareholders. The top 10 shareholders account for about 50% of the stock. And the company has substantial analyst coverage, not only from Canaccord and Stifel, but also Cantor Fitzgerald, Beacon, Paradigm, Cormark, Red Cloud, with target prices ranging between $1.50 and $5.75, or an average of $3.44. Archie Equity has been an advisor to and an investor in Critical Elements Lithium since around Tesla's battery day in September 2020. And as a reminder, Rodney and I are not investment advisors, and nothing in this interview should be construed as investment advice. Please do your own research and read the disclaimer at the end of this video. At the time of our last interview, JS, CRE stock was $2.17. It's now 67 cents, down 70%. But this is not your first downturn, of course, over the last 10 plus years. And it's worth reminding our viewers that in the early lithium years, there was just Damaska, North American Lithium, and Critical Elements as the major lithium stories in Quebec. And unlike those other two, which have gone through bankruptcy processes, you have managed your project and your capital structure very prudently. The tortoise, not the hare, that will ultimately win the race. Over the last 2 years, a lot more explorers have entered the Quebec spodumene space. Some have made significant discoveries, such as Patriot and Winsome Resources. And many others are starting to drill following last year's delays due to the forest fires. Relative to a number of those earlier stage peers, Critical Elements has significant cash balance and has an aggressive exploration campaign underway, which is starting to yield significant results that the market does not seem to be paying attention to yet. Note that a written summary of this interview will be published in the next edition of Arcade Equity's Lithium Ion Bull. Please register your email at arcadeequity.com if you'd like to receive this newsletter directly to your email box. And please make sure to like this video, subscribe to Rockstock Channel, and leave a question or comment below. What do you think of JS and Critical Elements prospects? What other companies might you be interested to hear from on this channel? And if you'd like to email Rodney and me directly, you can now do so, rockstockchannel@arcadeequity.com. Critical Elements has an active social media presence. You can find them on X at CRE Corp and also on LinkedIn. You could also follow Critical Elements chairman at Eric Zonscherb. And don't forget, you could find Rodney and me on X at Rodney Hooper 13 and at Lithium Ion Bull. So with that intro, welcome back, JS, to Rockstock Channel in this hyper bull market that we find ourselves in.
Hi, Omar.
So we'd love to hear an update, you know, on the Rose Project and also the exploration results. Rodney will ask you kind of like specifically about that. But for our viewers who may be, you know, hearing you for the first time, if you could just maybe just give a quick overview of your background and project. I said 10 plus years. I don't know if it's been 15 years or exactly, you know, when it started, but you were very much a lithium 1.0 project when I got in this business in 2009.
I'm Jean-Sébastien Lavallée. I'm the CEO of Critical Elements since 2010. The discovery was made in 2010. We've been working on a project. I will say that early stage was still a real dream. Lithium demand was very low, but we started drilling in 2010. Then we developed the resource up to 2012, released the first PEA in 2013. Then it was the, let's say, end of lithium 1.0. Then we started working more on metallurgical testing and looking at the next stage of study, starting the work to do a feasibility study, and the market being very difficult up to 2015 when it turned slowly turned, being able at that time to raise a bit more capital, and now work on the first DFS that was released in 2017. When price start to move up, being able to raise more capital, then start applying for the permitting process, all the baseline work, and release an update DFS then in 2022, just before the market lithium price collapse again. We provide the most recent update of the DFS last summer in 23, which is pretty recent, and start detail engineering work to advance the project to final investment decision.
And remind us of the parameters of that final DFS. What was the total, like, CapEx, IRR, NPV? What price did you use?
Yeah, we are looking at a CapEx of 471 million US. So let's assume 500 million US to build the entire project, which will produce around 200,000 tons of spodumene concentrate. The after-tax NPV 8% is 2.2 billion US with IRR at 65%. So for the study, we use a price deck of around $2,160 a ton for spodumene concentrate, which we think is the price that is a sustainable price to justify investment and bring new supply in the market.
Okay, great. So, Joseph, if we can go back a little bit and just discuss, you know, you completed a number of key milestones for Rose to get into production. Can you just discuss the most important licenses that you've received and anything that remains outstanding before you can go ahead and into production?
Yeah, there's, let's say, several authorizations that have been received up to now. So the first one was the federal approval on the EIS that had been received in August 21. Then the provincial approval combined with the COMEX process, which is the joint committee with the provincial minister and the Cree community that approved the project in November 22. So that was, let's say, the main two umbrella authorization that lead to apply to other approval, restoration plan also that been obtained, the mining lease and the land use lease, and the exemption from Transport Canada for the navigable water plan. So the next, I will say, next main that is still outstanding is the approval for compensation plan for fish from Fish Ocean and the wetland compensation plan. That's in progress, so hopefully we'll get that complete soon. And the rest is mainly the usual permit you need when you build a mine or building, cutting trees, drilling well, then fulfill all the conditions that were linked to all these authorization, meaning things like monitoring program, safety plan, evacuation program, forest fire program. There's a lot of things to be complete when you receive these approval, but as we got it a year and a half ago now, we made a lot of progress on that. So we're mainly ready to start when we close project financing.
Okay, so all on track. And your slide deck mentions, you know, potential strategic blue chip partners for the Rose project. Can you give us an update on where you are on the financing package and finding those partners?
As you know, it's been a long process that we've been in. It's a process where we're not just trying to get a strategic partner in for the financing, but we're trying to attach a full package that will finance the entire project. So like I mentioned, we're looking for $500 million, which, you know, will include a debt package, a strategic investment, and possibly, you know, we've been working since there was announcement from the different level of government of different incentive program. So there's a lot of things in working, and we're trying to attach everything together with, let's say, less than price correction. Obviously, share price went down. So you always have to work with, let's say, share price, valuation, and readjust structure in these discussion and negotiation. So.
And Quebec is always ranked highly in terms of being a decent mining jurisdiction. How have you, as a company founder, dealing with the First Nations and with local government agencies? What's your experience been like?
Well, I think we have a very good experience. We've been starting to work, let's say, with the Cree community since the day one. We build a relation with them, and we involve them in, let's say, in all the process. We keep them informed. Then we start the permitting process. We signed the IBA in 2019. We always maintain that relation. It's very important because it's really a collaboration to develop a mining project. Also with the government, it's been a long process, but it's, in my opinion, a good process because it's very rigorous, and we need to protect the land, and we need to do the right thing. So there was a lot of, let's say, back and forth, going back on the ground, doing more baseline to answer the different question. And but I will say it's been very well, that process. It's been long, but that's what they need. So that's what they request. So we went through that process, and we did it.
And the one thing that you have with your project, Jace, is you've got a very low iron content, so you are able to make technical grade spodumene, which is something that's pretty rare these days. We don't see that much of it around other than Greenbushes. Have you found that, you know, given that unique position that you can, you know, produce technical grade spodumene, that there's been substantial downstream demand and interest in that particular part of your production?
But like, as you just mentioned, there is mainly only one supplier for that material in the market. Since several years, there is interest for that material. That's a portion, let's say, of the production. We entertain discussion with the users of that material. There's a lot of interest for it, but as it's not the main volume of the project, that's not with that volume that we can finance the entire project, but that's a very interesting material and there's a lot of interest for it. Without putting any name, you know, the user of that material that produce different ceramics or dishes and all these kind of screen TV, there's a lot of interest for it. There is no material available. So, and there's a good advantage to use spodumene versus carbonate.
And just on that, you would have had a premium assumption in your NPV models. Is that still the case out there in the market, that it definitely trades at a substantial premium?
Yeah, there's always a premium for that material because the reality is when the spodumene technical grade is not available, they are replacing it by using lithium carbonate. So the price is directly linked to lithium carbonate price, but you're not, let's say, assuming the conversion price. So Critical will benefit of the conversion price in the spodumene price. I'm not sure if it's clear, but mainly we're getting lithium carbonate price without paying for the conversion.
Yes, I get it. You mentioned potential for grants or funding locally, but when I look at the NPV model, you know, the Rose Project has got a projected 17-year mine life, but that was largely based on drilling that was concluded in 2016 to a large extent. So that's 8 years ago, but you have extensive exploration potential, it looks like, in various locations around Rose. And you've had some recent drilling results. Can you highlight each of those opportunities and discuss your exploration results at Rose West? It looks like there's some decent width and quite high grade there.
Yeah, but like I mentioned at the beginning, yes, we stopped drilling in mainly 2016. The focus really being on getting the permit, advancing the technical study, starting the detail engineering, moving the project ahead through the process for being able to start the construction. But now that, you know, we've been better funded, last summer we decided to do a substantial surface exploration program, from which we discover different new zone. We extend and surface the trend of Lamar. We confirm and find other outcrop at Duval with also high grade. I mean, when I say high grade, it's over 2%. Then we find that new zone at Rose West, with just like very interesting results up to 5% lithium. And then we decide to do an initial drilling campaign on that zone that been complete a month ago. We start providing some of the results. And yes, the width, the grade, very interesting. We're talking about the grade that is mainly twice the Rose grade, and the width also. So it's very interesting because the zone is located about 7.58 kilometers in line from the Rose main deposit. So that just opened the potential to increase the resource and reserve in future for Rose. Obviously, it will take more drilling, but if you count that for Rose, we drill 26,000 meters for a resource of 32 million tons. It's very effective in terms of cost and number of meter we need to drill. As the zone is sub-horizontal, it's very similar to Rose, to be honest. If you look at the structure, it seems to be on a trend between Rose and Rose West, where we think we can maybe find a different deposit there. But first, we'll start to grow that Rose West. We think we can grow that very quickly, and that can have like a significant future impact for the project, because we can increase capacity, we can maybe increase the throughput grade that will provide more material. It's all very early and speculative at these things, but it gives a lot of idea for future. But the focus, let's go back to the focus, really, to build Rose. It doesn't change anything for Rose. We'll build Rose and we'll drill Rose West. Then with the experience we have now, in terms of, you know, all the stuff we need to do, we think we can pretty quickly develop the Rose West project.
Yeah, it looks like it, because Jace, it looks to be all within 140 meters from surface. So,
yep, exact. And the goal of the campaign was really to quickly develop, let's say, understand the geometry of the zone, then develop some size to see if there's really a potential to build resource there. But, you know, based on the information we have from the surface work that's been done in summer, there is good chance that there will be other zones, like just around the main zone we drill. So there is a lot of potential to expand that zone. And it's completely open.
And of course, that certainly the Rose West will go straight on into lengthening the Rose project and improving the economics.
I will say early to say it, but there's a good chance because it's right beside. We're not going to build a second mine or project if it's more resource and it's probably a satellite deposit. Who knows, maybe Rose is a satellite deposit and that's the main deposit. We'll see.
Yeah, certainly very encouraging. So, Jace, if you can sum up for the listeners what the key milestones, catalysts are going to be for 2024 in your mind that could drive strong performance in the share.
But there is a couple of big milestones to be achieved. I will say that the most important and the one that everyone is waiting is the project financing with a strategic partner and offtake and all that package very important than being able to announce FID and start having shovel in the ground and build the mine. That's the still the main focus. But in parallel, I think we will see also a significant drilling program on that new discovery to quickly develop more resource proximal to the project. So I think there will be like a regular news flow of drill results over the year, and hopefully we'll be able to come back with some new resource from that new zone. But really the real focus and the real big step will be the project financing.
And of course, that would be fantastic and kick off. In terms of your cash balance and all the exploration you're doing and work you're doing, in the absence of a finance package, how long would that cash balance last in your burn rates with the work you're doing?
Yeah, as mentioned by Howard at the beginning, we always been very good to manage the cash. So we can go for, let's say, a year, year and a half if need, including still progressing with our engineering work. There's other things we have a full internal team working on it. Then do exploration, as I mentioned, 26,000 meters on road to develop the resource. It's close to surface, it's sub-horizontal zone. We don't have to drill like a 400-500 meter hole every time. It's very short hole, so it's very effective. So I think, you know, we're pretty well funded to keep going at the moment.
If I look, you raised that $30 million in 2021, you said, and it's now 2024, and you still have $20 million. I guess you had some cash at that time, but the burn has not been super fast. And relative to, let's say, some, you know, $20 million in cash is bigger than some of your Quebec peers' market caps that are drilling and hoping, you know, to make hits. And Jess, I just wanted to dig in a little bit more deeply into project finance and how you want to piece together this package, you know, debt, equity. I mean, we saw there was news, the federal budget kind of came out and there seemed to be, you know, funds allocated to that. Is there anything you might see from that? It was on the tape today, you know, Lithium America has just issued, you know, raised $275 million at a steep discount. Nevertheless, it was off of $1 billion market cap. That was like a final equity plug, I think, you know, then GM is going to come in and the Department of Energy loan, you know, at 70%. But like when you think of your package, obviously, you know, that's a $3 billion project. You're a $500 million project, but they're permitted. I mean, like, can you get government, low cost government funding? You know, do you think like you'll get an equity partner that takes all of your offtake for 15 years? You know, like GM did, and, but your market cap is meaningfully lower, you know, than Lithium America's was. And then a separate related question to that is we've seen in like Frontier Lithium's case, a project level investment that was done at a much higher valuation than implied by the market cap. And similarly, Lithium Argentina, you know, sold 15% of their Pastos Grandes project for, you know, an equivalent valuation of that project alone, you know, at of over $400 million. So it's always a problem when you have your public equity competing, you know, versus the NPV, you know, when you're negotiating with a prospective partner. So there's a question embedded within that. And the final question embedded in that is like, you have $2,000 about spodumene forecast as the incentive price. When you're negotiating with prospective offtake partners, do they recognize, you know, that $2,000 or what number, you know, from a price floor perspective, you know, I'm sure that's embedded in, you know, in your equity discussions, which is running in parallel with your debt discussions. So a lot embedded within that, but if you could just overall provide as much color as you can on how you get this done, or do you just wait for spodumene prices to rise and the market's better? And as you've been waiting for, you know, 12, 13 years, you just wait another year or two until things improve.
Well, we're not waiting, I will say. we wait long enough. We're still like very active and progressing in our discussion. Let's start with a structure. We always said that we're looking for something in the range of 50-50 or 60% debt and 40 equity or 50-50. So that's already, let's say, a good portion out. These new program, let's say from the government, where there is some capital available at very low interest rate, even zero interest rate. That's some of the program that we are working, obviously, like every group in Critical Mineral will do. There's also the tax credit on the investment for extraction and processing equipment that being put in place, which is 30% refundable tax credit. That's something that can, you know, maybe finance a portion of the project. Maybe it's something we can get upfront. That's an option. There's also the Critical Mineral Infrastructure Fund that being put in place, where there's some capital available. Obviously, for us, we already have road, we already have power line, we have a lot of infrastructure already. So that there's maybe other projects that can get more money from these funds. But then there's also some incentive in Quebec with tax credit. So it's how can we, let's say, get that money before we spend the money, because that's all refundable or tax credit. So that's something that we've been working. Then in terms of strategic, because that's your real question, the, let's say, project level investment, or that's always been something that we've been looking. When equity is very high, it's way simple to go with corporation investment. But in these circumstances right now, project level will make more sense based on the NPV. And, you know, there's precedent. You can see what is the value you apply for these different investment based on NPV. Obviously, as of today, if you apply today lithium price in our study, you will get, you know, if you apply what 40% discount on the sensitivity table, you will be around 1.2, 1.3 billion US. Then that's the challenge to negotiate the valuation for project level investment. And then when price goes back up, then you go back to, that's why there's always moving part in these discussions.
Okay. And you've had Cantor Fitzgerald, they're running a process for some time. I know lots of companies have been to visit and do due diligence in your data room. So I guess to be seen, there's not much you could really, you know, kind of talk about. Okay. Thank you very much, JS, for an informative update. Like I said before, I think it's been 14 years since you've been developing this project. You've been doing it prudently. We've been through multiple booms and busts, but the project is real. It's permitted. Quebec is of great interest. It's IRA compliant from a U.S. perspective, and this new federal budget, you just mentioned a couple of things there. I think we're going to dig deeper into those in later interviews, because some of that's money, but you know, in America it's similar. If there's like tax credit, that's applicable to every company, right? Once you're funded, it's not, you know, and if there's a way you can kind of bring that forward, I don't know if that's like tax equity or something that you were referring to, but this is a new policy. It was just announced, I think, and I don't think the market's like fully digest the impact have. So thanks again, and look forward to interviewing you, you know, again, hopefully later in the year, upon, you know, full funding and FID.
Thanks, Howard.